just want to welcome everyone here today, and I want to welcome everyone here who's watching online. You guys can just type in the chat if you want and give us a hey, what's up, say how's it going, and for everyone in the house today, you can give me an amen. Oh, that was pretty good. I'm glad to hear you guys are ready to hear God's word. You know, I have the privilege today of starting a series titled Joy, and 'tis the season, right, to be joyful. I love this time of year. I love the presents. I love the food. I love how excited my kids get over Christmas. We just set up our decorations yesterday, a little later than some people, but we always have to wait until after my wife's birthday because, you know, it'd just be sacrilege otherwise. Can't celebrate. So we set it all up, and our kids were going crazy just with joy and excitement over that. And I love getting together with people this time of year, loved ones, people close to us. But more than anything, I just like celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here this morning. So, starting this series on joy, I thought it would be good to talk about something that really makes me joyful. And that's the love of God. So today I'll be talking on the love of God, and I've titled today's message, God's Great Love. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just invite you into this place this morning, God. I pray that you will speak to me and allow your words to be presented to your people, Father. Open our hearts and minds today, God. We just invite your Holy Spirit into this place. Have your way. Amen. So I'm going to be talking about God's love today. And my first point is, how great is it? How great is God's love? I have a Bible. Oh no, let's just start with the Bible. It's God's word. It's essentially a giant love story. This is God loving us. First, he creates us in his own image, and it's love at first sight. When God created everything, he said, "It is good." And he thought we were good. But it doesn't take long for the drama to begin to unfold when you read through the Bible and you see that we turn away from God. And then God is continually chasing after us. All through the Old Testament, we see story after story of God trying to reconnect with his people. God trying to get back in that loving relationship. He just wants us to choose him. He wants us to be close to him. Eventually, we get to the New Testament, and we see the answer. God comes in human form as a little baby, and Jesus is born. Now, usually, babies are carefree and innocent. But I think about baby Jesus, and I think about he had the literal weight of the world on his shoulders. Right? Jesus was born to die. It's hard to describe how great God's love is because of our human understanding. You think about the definition in the English dictionary, and it's so lacking. Because you can't describe love without God. It's impossible. God is love. Says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So without knowing God, it says we can't know love. We can't begin to understand love. God's love is so great that he is, in fact, love. If he was here today and he were to walk into this room, God could say, "Love is my middle name," and he'd be right. Our human understanding of love, it's what makes it so difficult to grasp how great God's love is. Because we know what we know based on our love and the relationships we have here on earth. Take marriage, for example. It's no surprise that more and more marriages are falling apart. There's a lot of people that are attend church and Christians who have been through divorce. And this is due in some large misconception of what it means to love somebody. Often when two people fall in love at first, everything's easy. Right? You're so attracted to the other person, you can look past their faults, and you can just not see exactly everything that's going on in the relationship. Maybe the man's caught up in the chase. The woman feels all her needs are being met. But it doesn't take long for reality to set in. Right, the honeymoon stage is over, and then the rubber meets the road, and you get down to real, gritty relationship. And it's in these times where you can't hide your faults, and they come out into the open. Marriage falls apart a lot of times because we enter into them with conditions. Right? We say things like, I'll love you as long as. I'll love you as long as you make enough money. Or I'll love you as long as you don't let yourself go. Or I'll love you as long as you don't betray me. These are conditions. They are. You're saying, as long as this happens, fill in the blank. God's love is so great that it says it is unconditional. No conditions. No strings attached. And I'm so thankful for that, because if God expected us to live up to his standards, how perfect he is, we would simply be out of luck. Right? He sees everything about us. He knows who we are, inside and out. So when I look at relationships around me, and earthly relationships, the closest relationship I can see to feel God's love is a relationship between a parent and a child. You know, as a father myself, I have 5 children, and I would do anything for them. I love them with all my heart. They bring me so much joy. And the truth is, they didn't earn this love. You know, they came out, and that love was there. And it's a sacrificial love, and it's an undeserving love. And that's why the Bible talks about God as our Father. And it uses this word, Abba. And the closest thing we have in the English language to Abba is Daddy. And when you think about that word, Daddy, that's how God in our relationship is supposed to be. Somewhere along the line, we get too formal, right? And we think as God as our Father, as this abstract thing, and he's perfect, and we can't be in a close relationship with him. But when you think about the word Daddy, and even when you call God your Daddy, that relationship, it's so much more intimate. Words to describe the relationship between a father and a child are words like intimate, childlike trust, providing, protective, loving. Jesus illustrates this relationship of the father and a child in a parable. It's a well-known parable. It's called the Prodigal Son. And in this parable, we see God as the father. So in this parable, there's a father and he has 2 sons. And the one son comes to his father and he asks for his inheritance early. He's like, hey, Dad, I know you're not dead yet, but I want what's owed to me, so can you please give it to me? And the father, graciously, he gives him the money. So the son goes out, he has money in pocket, he's very happy, he's entering into the world. He starts spending his money. All of a sudden he has all these friends, all these people all over him. Everyone's excited to be around him because he's buying things, he's partying it up. But before long, of course, the money runs out. And when the money runs out, his friends leave him, and he's left with nothing. He ends up working at this pig farm, and he ends up sleeping with the pigs, and all he has to eat is the food that the pigs are eating. This is pretty gross. He's got nothing. He realizes that even his father's servants live better than this. So he goes, and he makes his plan. He says, I'm going to go to my father, and I'm going to beg to be one of his servants. Because then I'll have a higher quality of life. It'll be good. So he's on his way back to his father. And this is the part of the story that is just my favorite part. His father sees him from a ways out, drops everything he's doing, and he runs to his son. And he clings to him. And he just is so happy that his son has come home. There's no I told you so's. There's no I knew exactly how this would go, because I'm sure the father did. God knows everything, but he just accepted his son. That is how great the Father's love is. There's no, I told you so, it's just grace, forgiveness, and so much joy. There's so much joy, in fact, that he throws a party. And this is where we see the true definition of unconditional love. I'm sure the son had this whole message planned out for his dad, a whole speech about how he's going to beg to be one of his servants. Right, that's how we are sometimes. We're like, oh, how can we beg God for him to accept me? Like, we know we're not doing the right things, but how can we, you know, motivate God or just encourage God to take us in? But he doesn't care. He takes us as we are, who we are, because we're his children. That is how great God's love is. So my next point, what keeps us from the fullness of God's love? Because we want part of this love. It's so great. And in a word, what keeps us from God's love is sin. It's this tiny little word. It's got I in the middle. Because sin is all about me, me, me. Right? It's not about God. And sin separates us from God. Yeah. The first two people on the earth were Adam and Eve, right? God created these two people. And this was like the perfect relationship between God and man. God would walk with them, he'd talk with them, and he took complete care of them in that garden. They didn't have any worries. They didn't have to worry about shelter. The weather was always perfect. They didn't have to dress in the latest fashions because God already clothed them, in a manner of speaking. They didn't need any money because there was nothing to buy, right? God had complete control over them. They didn't have to worry about illness or sickness. They didn't die. They didn't have to worry about COVID-19. They didn't have to worry about any of the restrictions. They didn't have to worry about political views, right? This was the perfect paradise to live in. Sign me up. I'm there. Let's go. Unfortunately, we can't go there anymore. Not since Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And ever since that time, there's been sin in the world. And each of us have been battling with it. And there's evidence of sin all around. You don't have to look too far out your front door to see the fall of man, to see things going bad, to see darkness. You know, we experience that every day. Things happen to us. We're involved in situations. It's a battle with temptation. And when we give in to temptation, we are pulled further away from God's love. Every man, every woman is subjected to temptation. Right? If you're not a Christian, if you are a Christian, it doesn't matter. Even Jesus was tempted in the desert. Temptation does not play favorites. It's a struggle inside our very nature. It's as if we have two parts of ourselves. There's good and there's evil. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And even though we may not want to sin, we still sin. Paul describes this struggle in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 18. Wow. So it goes like this. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But I know that what I am doing is wrong. This shows that I agree that the law is good, so I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin that lives inside me. The point is, it's a battle. The sin is there, whether you want it or not. There have been men in the Bible that God had great plans for them. And they weren't able to see these plans because of the sin in their lives. You think about Moses. He leads the people out of Egypt, and he's headed to the promised land. He's God's chosen man, and he's not able to enter the promised land because of his anger. You think of a man like David, the greatest king. David was promised to be able to build God's temple, a place of worship. David's the greatest worshiper, and he's like looking forward to build this temple, but because of his sin, he was held back from building that temple. He committed adultery and murder. And even Saul himself had his kingship taken away because of his sin. Right? Saul disobeyed God, he let pride and his ego get in the way. A lot of times, God has things planned for us, but we might not see them out because of our sin. Another reason why we're not experiencing all of God's love is because we feel unworthy of it. We get caught up in looking on the inside. Sometimes we magnify our own sin. We make it more than it is. Sometimes it consumes our whole life and it's all we can see. And we get so down on ourselves. Your Facebook wall or Twitter account or Instagram, it might be filled with some negative comments. Maybe you put something out there, someone didn't like it too much, and they say something nasty, and it sticks with you. Maybe you've had past relationships where somebody said something bad about you. And they begin to believe it. They can be nasty things that aren't true. Or maybe you were living in a relationship where you suffered abuse. Maybe it was physical or emotional. Whatever it is, after a while, maybe you begin to feel like, I deserve this. There's many things in our life that can make you feel unlovable. Maybe it's a hidden sin that you're struggling with. And you don't want to tell anybody about. Everything can make you feel unlovable. Whatever it is, it'll keep you from God's love until you start to deal with it. And maybe you have a void inside you, and you're just trying to fill it up. You fill it up with all the things of the world, everything you can get your hands on, and you're still left feeling wanting. You got to start filling it with God's love. We see how great God's love is, and we know what can keep us from it. Now I'm going to show you how we can experience more of God's love. And the first step is simply to accept the gift. You know, God's love is a gift. We are saved by grace. God is continually pursuing each and every one of us. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, that we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. God loved you before you were created. And God reveals his love to us before we decide to follow him. I've heard some people say that I found Jesus at such and such a time in my life, and then that was amazing. Like, once I found Jesus, everything was great. And this isn't exactly true, because it's not like God is hiding from us. It's not like he's playing hide and seek, and we're going around, and all of a sudden he's like, ah, I found you, God. Or it's not like God just shows up one day and says, hey, sorry I'm late. I know you've had a tough life, but I'm here now. You know, maybe I missed my bus. Traffic was bad. That's not how it works. The truth is, God loved us first, right? God was always there. I think this is why sometimes giving your life to Jesus can seem so overwhelming, because he's always there, always pursuing us. And then it's circumstances, it's other people in our life that start to point us to him. And then when we finally get to that decision and we make it and we give our life to him, it's so impactful, because it's like a buildup. It's like pressure building, right? God pursuing us. And then all of a sudden we turn around and God's there. And our life turns around at the same time. So we need to accept the gift. This is done by accepting the gift of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he made to cover our sins. This may separate us from God. Sin separates us from God, but Jesus bridged the gap. Jesus dying on the cross is why we don't have to be victims of sin anymore. It's why we don't have to believe those lies of the world anymore. It's why when people say bad things about us, we can let it roll off our shoulders. It's why we can have the joy of the Lord, and it can be our strength to get us through all those tough times, because we know the greater truth. The greater truth of Jesus. This whole season is all about Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Right? And once you're lost, you're found. So you don't find Jesus, he finds you. An amazing day when he does. It's such a happy day. You're flooded with the love of God. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end on the day that we're saved, right? That is just the beginning. That's just the first page in a great story that God has planned for you. The rest of our lives, he wants us to be in deeper relationship with him. And deeper levels of love requires deeper levels of action. And that's my next point, is love is an action. You don't just fall in and out of love. It's not like you trip and then, hey, I'm in love, and then you get pushed the other way and I'm out of love. No, right? Love needs to be something more concrete than that. It needs to be a choice. It needs to be a choice that you continue to make. Think about the relationships in your life. The more deeper you are with someone is because you've given them time. You've spent time with them. And the more time you spend with someone, the greater the relationship can be, the more intimate it may become. So when you think about your relationship with God, in order to deepen that relationship, you need to commit a greater amount of time. And how can you do this if you don't talk with God? Right? Prayer. Prayer is a big thing. This is how we talk with God. And I intentionally say with, because all too often we talk to God. And we just say our piece, and then we jet. I broke down how not to talk to God with this acrostic. I've used it once before. I think it's great. I came up with it myself. But I've totally been guilty of doing this. So T, you tell God your problems. A, you ask God to fix them. L, you list your desires. And K, you kill the conversation with an amen. Now, how often are we guilty of doing this? Right? You say, dear God, you know, I'm suffering with this. Can you please fix it? And also, I need some more money. Amen. That's it. Right? That's really not how to build a healthy relationship. If you had people like that in your life that you treated like that, would you build a strong relationship? If I treated my wife like that, do you think she would be very appreciative? Said, hey, Lisa, I need something. Bye. But we do that with God sometimes. And we think that's going to work. But it's a relationship for a reason, and he's our Father for a reason. Prayer is a two-way street. Leave time for God to speak to you. Some of the greatest times of prayer I have is when I'm quiet and I'm in that place of solitude and God begins to speak to me, right? And he fills my heart with so much joy. He tells me I'm doing a good job. Keep going on the track you're heading on, right? Builds me up. He will correct me sometimes, but mostly he just wants to tell me how much he loves me. Because God is love, and that's what he wants to share with us. So allow those times. Another way we can get close to God and experience his love is through worship. And this is an amazing thing. I mean, when we praise God, we lift our voices to him, or we can worship him in so many other ways with our actions and our attitudes. We can worship him corporately, but we can also worship him on our own. And an atmosphere of worship is a place where God comes down and dwells among his people. The closest, most tangible feelings I've had of feeling God's love and being with God is during worship. And that's because when we worship God, he comes down through his Holy Spirit and inhabits us. That's what Scripture says. When we're worshiping him, he comes and he meets us where we're at. So it's no, like, accident that when people come together and worship, we feel his presence. It's no accident that before an army would go into battle that followed the Lord, they sent out the worshipers first. Right? That's how you prepare the way. And even in this Battle Belong song that we're singing, right, they say that the battle starts on your knees. So you pray and you worship God, and that's how his will be done. And we need to worship with reckless abandonment. This picture, this is David, when he goes out into the streets, and he dances in nothing but his loincloth. I like that. You know what that means, right? But yeah, so he's not worried. And we need to worship like that. We need to worship where we're not concerned about what other people think around us. We need to take a little bit of our, I don't know, a little bit of our reservedness, a little bit of feeling, yeah, we need to be undignified, more undignified, and then even more undignified when worshiping God because he deserves it all. I like how in this picture, David is just focused totally up, totally on the Father, right? There's people around him. His wife is going on, can't believe what he's doing, but he doesn't care. He's like, no, God, you're it. I am fully focused, fully sold out for you. Another way to experience more of God's love is to love in the same way he does. You take Jesus for an example. He's the best example. When Jesus loved people, it was a complete sacrificial love. Jesus didn't love people based on their status or how much money they had. Jesus didn't love people based on what he could get back from them. He didn't look at relationships that way. He simply loved everybody. And he saw everyone's hearts. And if we display the same type of fierce love, you know, it's going as far as loving your enemies. Not just those people who like you. And Jesus talks about this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 45. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. So be bold enough to love the unlovable. Be bold enough to love those people that have done you wrong. In doing so, you're going to show them the love of God. The love of Jesus displayed will open their eyes to what true love is. And this kind of love brings people to Jesus. This is the type of love where we can reach people for Jesus by displaying this type of love. It can mend relationships. It can overcome offenses. I spoke earlier about how sin separates us from God. What brings us closer to God is removing the sin from our lives. And I found it really hard to just stop sinning in my own will. I mean, if you know the trick, you can come talk to me later, fill me in. But the word says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right? So, and I think if we start filling our lives with more of the goodness of God, there'll be less room for sin to grow. It's lifestyle choices. It comes down to how you choose to live your life. If I let the sinful, carnal side of me, and I give into that, I'm going to experience less of God. Conversely, If I fill myself with more of God's love, I spend more time in prayer, more time worshiping Him, more time loving others, then I'm going to experience more of His love. Our thought patterns and what we put into our minds, they come out into our actions eventually. You can't hide it. Right? If you're living a double life, it comes out. It comes out in your words. It comes out in your deeds. You know, you see this all the time. You can't pretend. And if you put garbage in, you get garbage out. If you put love in, you get love out. I'm going to read you this verse in Philippians about what to put in your mind. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So you look at this verse, and you look at all the things that are here, right? They have true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, these words. When you're watching something on TV, does it meet these standards? When you're having conversations with your friends, does it meet these standards? Right? When you're at work and something goes wrong, and your reaction, does it live up to these standards? Because this is what we're called to be as Christians. I guarantee you're going to feel more of God's love in your heart if you start focusing on these attributes. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." And this is the same thing as good and evil. The world, it's evil. It is. And God is good and pure. And we need to start focusing more on heavenly things, more things from God. And we need to be filling our minds with it. We need to be filling our hearts with it. And we need to stay away from things from the world. Romans chapter 8, verses 37, 39. "No. In all things we have been more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen? Isn't that amazing? God's love is unconditional. God's love is sacrificial. God's love is everlasting, and nothing can separate us from that perfect love of God. Amen. This brings me to my final point. How can we share a love like this? God's love is so amazing, it's so life-changing, that it begs to be shared. Right? If you have it inside you, you need to be willing to offer it to the people around you. God doesn't just give us our love to keep it to ourselves. An example of me, for me, is this, is my life at work. So I work in construction. I don't hide the fact that I am a Christian. And sometimes that can stir up conversations, but ultimately it just, I feel like I have an obligation to live a certain way, speak a certain way. So if I'm like coming in all miserable, all cranky, do you think they're going to see the love of God in me? Course not. They won't. But if I'm generous, and if I'm patient, and if I take my time to teach people things, and I encourage them, right, if I'm walking around with these attitudes in me, and if I put their feelings ahead of my own, which really throws them off sometimes, like, I remember one time we bought some guys that were working for us coffee and donuts, and the guy was there, and he like almost literally started crying. I was like, "What is this?" He's like, "You just bought me this?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "You don't want anything?" I'm like, "No." And he's like, I was like, "Man, that was like the easiest emotional pull ever, Tim Hortons coffee." But it's amazing because it's not the norm, right? That's not normally how people are in this world. But as Christians, that's how we're called to be. And the more and more people see this in me, the more and more they want some of what I got. And there's only one place they can get it from, right? And that's from God. And having Jesus as a Savior. So they ask me about it, and I can share that with it. When I pour out God's love to others, I feel Him pouring His love into me. And I don't want God to stop pouring His love into me. I want that to be a continual process. But it's almost like a faucet. When you turn it on, that water's flowing. But then when you turn it off, the water stops. And that's how it is with God's love sometimes. Like, we're receiving God's love, but if we don't pour it out to the people around us, God stops pouring it into us. Right? But if we pour it out to more people and more people, we feel more and more of that love. Our capacity to love others is because of how much God loves us. We need to exercise that. We need to get out there and start showing that love to people in a physical way. We need to reach people in those dark and lonely places. Whether it's through missions around the world, or it's just talking to your neighbor down the street, there are so many ways and opportunities we have to show people the love of God. There's a world out there in the need of God's love. And we as the church, we're going to be the way how God's love reaches those dark and lonely places. There's a need, and we're equipped to fill it. Right? The church is the one equipped to fill it. Not the government, not those agencies that have nothing to do with Jesus. They try, they get financial support, but they can only do so much. Right? Jesus said, I am the bread in the spirit, not the bread of life. Sometimes we give them physical bread, but they're searching for something so much more. That empty hole that they try to fill with food, they try to fill with drugs, they try to fill with all these other things in their lives won't be filled, but we can offer them something filling, something that will sustain them. We can offer them Jesus. And that is why God loves us so much, so that we can get off our butts, get out there, and start spreading that love of Jesus to people around the world, right? And even around the world in Lethbridge. Yeah, a little louder in here would be good. During this holiday season, as we think about those closest to us, those we love, I encourage you to grow in your relationship with God so you can experience more of His love. Because on this series, joy, and if you want to experience joy, it all starts with God's love. So to sum up, God's love is great. Guard yourself against things that keep you from God's love. Fill your life with attitudes, thoughts, and actions that increase God's love. And finally, go out into the world and spread God's love to everyone you meet. Get out there, do it. Take these 4 points, put them into action. They're not just something that's like nice to hear, right? This is a challenge. What the world needs now is love. And they need God's love. And they need God's love through us. Because they don't know it. They can't just experience God's love. If we don't show it to them, they'll never know it. That's on us. And I want to be one of those people who gets more of God's love by sharing it with those around me. I just have a verse that I'm going to close with. It's my favorite verse on love in the Bible. You guys might know this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. If I speak in tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast but do not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's give God a clap. Just going to close in a word of prayer. If you guys would bow your heads and join with me. Father, I thank you for this message. God, I pray that it would just touch the hearts and minds of those who hear it, God. Thank you so much for your amazing, reckless love, God, that you've given each and every one of us, Father. You know, if you're out there and you haven't accepted that gift, that simple gift of God's love, and to be a follower of Him, you know, you can do that right now. There's no time like the present. If that's you, you know, it's so easy to accept the gift. I can lead you in a prayer if you want to accept that gift right now. All you have to do is say these words after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, I realize this sin keeps me away from you. I ask you to come into my heart. Take away this sin, Jesus. I accept the sacrifice you've made. I choose to live the rest of my days following you. Amen. Now, as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you said that prayer for the first time, I just would ask that you lift your hand, acknowledge that. And also, if you're watching online and you made that decision for the first time, you can click on that button. So you gave your life to Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much, God, for all your blessings at this time of year, God. Blessings that we can pay forward to those around us, Father. I just pray that you'll be with us for the rest of this week, God. Keep us in your love. Amen. Jessica's going to come and lead us in communion right now.
Good morning. On the way in, you would have been directed to grab a communion cup. They're just on the table in the back. If you didn't grab one, please feel free to go and grab one now. There's also gluten-free available for you as well. So I have the joy of joining and leading you guys in communion this morning, and I'm so excited to do that. As a church, we join in the act of communion together to remember that Jesus died on the cross for us, the righteous for the unrighteous. He died to bring us to God. It was the greatest expression of love that we've ever known. We take this time to reflect on that sacrifice, and we take this time to confess our sins, the sins we know about, the hidden sins, our shame, and the sins that need to be brought to the forefront of our mind that we've not wanted to think about. We take this time to thank God that we don't have to pay the price for our sins, because there's no amount of deeds or works that you or I could ever do to cover the price of our sins. It is only by the great gift from God of sending his one and only Son to break the chains of sin in our life. 1 Corinthians 11 says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So we're going to partake in communion together. So first you'll peel back the clear lid first off to take the wafer out. And then you'll peel back the silver lid all the way back. Let's participate together in communion by eating the wafer, which represents Jesus' body broken, and drinking the juice, which represents Jesus' blood poured out on the cross. God, we celebrate today what Jesus has done for us, and we take this time to ask you to search our hearts, to know us, to bring to our minds what we need to confess. We thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the hope of renewal each day in your Son. Please keep preparing us for eternity with you, and let us spend our lives trying to reach the lost and the broken. You are faithful and always come through for us. There will be a garbage bin on your way out. We just ask if you could throw those cups out on the way out. That would be great. Thank you, church, for being here and for those online who have joined us in communion as well.
Oh, got your notes here, Jess. Did you guys miss me? Yes, you did. I know it. All right. I'm just going to remind you guys about our giving. It's a great time to give to the church. We got to keep doing what we're doing. We use this money to further God's kingdom, to reach more people for Jesus, to make biblical disciples. So there's six ways we can give: cash, check, debit card, e-transfer, Tithe, any way you feel like giving. And also, if you want to still give to New Hope to Asia, you're still able to do that. And I encourage you guys that you can give to CLC Giving. As we talked about before, we're doing those Christmas hampers. So if you want to reach out to your local community, take part in that. There's more info about how you can contribute on the display that we have. If you want to fill out some connection cards, you can go out to the Welcome Lounge. Karen's back there. And you can fill out a card. We want to get to know you. If you're online, you can send us an email. Give us all your details. And finally, if you guys need prayer for anything, anything at all, we're going to have a prayer team available here for you. You can come up, you can receive prayer, experience more of God's love. And also online, we have people there that will pray with you. Thank you all for coming. Enjoy the week and be blessed.